God loves you. I love you. You love me, hopefully. We're a happy family. Nope, we're not talking about Barney this morning. But it's a great concept, and it's reassuring to know. Our passage and our lesson this morning revolves around the concept of our brothers. And obviously when we talk about that, the scripture talks about brothers, but brothers or sisters or mothers. So we're going to look at passages in God's holy word this morning pertaining to brothers. So the title of our lesson this morning is, Are You With Me, Brother? Are you with me, brother? As we look at our lesson this morning, text from Matthew 7, I found in my life, if I apply removing the plank that's in my own eye before I start removing the speck out of somebody else's eyes, I don't have time for specks. I got enough to work on in myself. Jesus says, you know, the world says karma, right? What comes around goes around. Well, you know what? They just robbed that from Jesus. Because Jesus said, with what judgment you judge, it'll be judged back to you. And with what measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. Will you always get kindness back for kindness? No. No. But I guarantee you, you'll get hate for hate. I guarantee you'll get spite for spite. You'll get criticism for criticism. Jesus said, work on your own self. And that's one of the best ways you can show love to your brother, or your sister, or your mother, or your father. Jesus even says hypocrite. Boy, you know what? I'm a hypocrite. And folks, if you can't raise your hand and say you're a hypocrite, in my perspective, you really don't understand how God's word works on us. How many of you heard, I don't go to church because they're all just a bunch of hypocrites? You know? That's true. I'm a hypocrite, you're a hypocrite, let's all be hypocrites too. Just kidding a little bit. But folks, we can't live perfectly. That's why Jesus came. That's what's so precious about the truth and the gospel and his holy word. Because we recognize that. I can't do it all right. I can't do it on my own. I need Jesus. We need Jesus. Are you with me, brother? Sister? We got to have him in our lives. We got to. And then, you know, there's times in our lives when we try and try and try. And, you know, we struggle, folks, because we expect everybody else to be living and following Jesus like us. It's not the case. I don't care what they say, where they worship, what they proclaim. But they're struggling just like us. And, folks, we've got to understand there are times in our lives when we got to be like Jesus and you just don't say anything. As much as we want to say something back, as much as we want to reply, as much as we want to convict them of sin, as much as we want to tell them that we didn't do that, or it's not my fault. There's a time in our lives, and it's tough to realize, folks, not to give what is holy to the dogs, not to cast your pearls before swine. How many of you have ever been in a situation in your life, doesn't matter what you say, that somebody twists your words? That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. That's not what I said. That's not what I heard. And you spend more time trying to understand and explain yourself in your life. Folks, a lot of times those are times when we just need not to cast our pearls before swine. We got to let it go. Got to hit the delete button. I heard a message this morning or this week, and a guy was preaching, and he's talking about delete, delete, delete. Folks, there's times when that person is hateful. Delete. I have a hard time. Something happens at work. Somebody says something. I'm saying, well, that's not right. Or that's, I don't know whether if that's as factual, truthful as what I understand. That's mean. That's hateful. I told somebody this week. I was talking to somebody and they said something and it just hit me. Man, that's just hateful. Delete. Delete. It's going to happen in our lives, folks. We studied this morning about Jeremiah telling people the truth. And he was thrown in a pit of a dungeon. And stuck in a mire. For doing the right thing. Make sure Satan doesn't say that you're so messed up. And you have so much sin in your life that God's given up on you. Because God never, ever, ever gives up on you or me. Are you with me, brother? Sisters? If I had time, I'd type that in, sisters. Okay, now it sounds like I should have put sisters in. Folks, it's troubling lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces, folks. As much as you might think friends or family or neighbors really care about you, there's nobody in the world cares more about you than Jesus and God above. Because He will not tear you to pieces. He will not turn from you. He's there. He's a God of love and peace and happiness and joy and strength. You have heard that it was said, to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there until you have paid the last penny. Agree with your adversary quickly. That's like lining up on an offensive or defensive line and shaking your hand with that guy saying, hey, how's your family doing? Hope you're doing good. I'm going to let you by and hit this quarterback behind me. You know? Where I'm just playing touch. I'm a defensive end and I'm just going to touch your quarterback. And if I touch him, he's got to be out. That concept doesn't even equate to being reality. And it's the same thing with agree with your adversary quickly. Basically, don't throw your pearls before swine. Be careful. Be careful. Don't become so angry in a situation, folks, that you say things you wish you wouldn't say. We of all people, God's children, should be able to recognize those times in our lives. In Matthew chapter 12, it is written, while he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside seeking to speak with them. Then one said to him, look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you, with you. But he answered and said to the one who told him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And he stretched out his hand towards his disciples and said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and my mother. Folks, I think this is something the church struggles with sometimes. Be honest with you. Now, it is precious, and I want to say how blessed we are when our brothers and sisters that are blood are in Christ and are also brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a great blessing to have that double. But Jesus, our example, said, folks, there's times we got to let go of people if they're not good for us spiritually. There's times when a church and people following Jesus are more important in our lives than the blood. And that's tough. That's tough. Because we love them. He doesn't say don't love them. He doesn't say don't care for them. He doesn't say don't pray for them. He didn't say he didn't care. But he said in the spiritual realm, my responsibility is to help those that want to make it to heaven. Those people that have committed to me. Jesus had the ultimate capability of recognizing when somebody was lost and they probably wouldn't return back to him. We don't know that, folks. But we also have to recognize when somebody's turned their back on Jesus or has not accepted them. And that's a reality in our lives. We need to recognize, folks, that there are people that are walking after Jesus. Should we be helping them first? Those that are kingdom of heaven. I looked around this morning, and I'm going to ask Sister Wanda, I just thought about this morning, who's not here on a regular basis, or who's not here today? Because they are our brothers and sisters. For whatever reason. We know some of them are traveling. Maybe all of them are traveling. And we don't tell each other, does everybody know where everybody's at this morning? We don't. Some people know, some people don't know. But because of this verse, it reminded me, I'll just give you an example. Somebody's not here this morning that's supposed to serve. I'm going to call them this week and find out because I care. That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to pray for them. And I don't know because, and that's what I was going to mention about Sister Wanda because she keeps track of who's here and who's not for us attendance-wise. And I'm going to ask her, I'm going to take a picture of her attendance deal with my phone and reach out to some of those folks that aren't here this morning. In Matthew 18, moreover, if a brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you've gained a brother. But if he will not hear, take one or two more, that the mouth of two or three witnesses by every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them. I'm not going to get into addressing all of this, how this kind of works in a church discipline, but I would, because we're talking about, are you with me, brother? Folks, us as children of God, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him your fault between you and him alone. So Brother Brad sins against me. First off, you got to recognize if it's really sin or if it's just something to hurt your feelings. Okay? If Brad run into my truck and didn't tell me and run off, you know, that hurts my feelings. Is it a sin? Maybe he didn't know. Maybe he was in a discussion with his lovely wife and he didn't pay attention and he hit my truck. And he just drove off and thinking he hit a little bump in the drive. I don't know. But you know what?
I should go to Tom and say, Tom, you know what Brad did?
Or you know what I think I did? He did? Or I wonder if Brad did this?
Now Tom's thinking, I wonder if Brad would do that. I wouldn't think Brad would do that. And then Linda hears about it and says, well, Brad didn't do that. I was with Brad.
But if we follow this verse, folks, that's why I'm just giving you a simple hypothetical example. Brad didn't hit my truck, okay? And I would forgive him if he did, because it's only a truck. I love him far more than my truck. Believe it or not.
But if I have a fault with them, you go to them. Just in that simple example, I included Tom and Lynn and whoever else would have came into the circle. And all kinds of questions and innuendos and falsehoods and feelings and emotions that rob us the joy of being in Jesus. And it's all because I didn't do something as simple as saying, hey, Brad, you hit my truck? Folks, it's simple in our lives. God's word and the truth works.
We wonder how to keep drama from happening. Follow Jesus.
Follow Jesus. I just gave us an example how to follow Jesus from the things that he said.
Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle his accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold, and with his wife and children, and all he had, and that the payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, I have patience with me. I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Something simple to take from this passage, and we're going to continue on here in a minute with the next part of this passage, but
folks, how often do we forgive? How many times?
In a nutshell, when Jesus said 70 times 70, that's just like for an infinite number. It's like pushing a button and you never can get the answer. It just keeps going 0.33333333333 forever. That kind of concept.
Jesus says you always got to forgive them. There are no times when you can't forgive.
We want numbers and statistics and metrics. We want, you know, it's funny how we want the truth. We want the truth. We want the metrics. We want statistics. We want to know how it works. And then Jesus says, you can't handle the truth. In a nutshell. Actually, Jesus says, you can handle the truth, and I am the way, the truth, and the life. But you got to open your heart to me. We need to make sure we do say, I want the truth. Because when we say, I can't forgive you, we're saying, I can't handle the truth. I can't follow you, Jesus. I'm going to make an exception, Jesus. And folks, we can't do that. We can't do that in our lives. Because once we make an exception and allow lack of following Jesus or sin in our lives, it's easy just to open the door for anything else. The next thing that comes along. It's one of the neat things about gathering this morning and looking at God's Word to remind us to keep on keeping on to following Jesus. And in continuing in this passage, it is written, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and he took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down on his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me and I will pay you all. And he would not, but he went out and threw him in prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant? Just as I had pity on you." And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. If somebody's thrown in jail, how can they pay a debt? They can't. They don't have means of making any money to pay that debt back. Either somebody in their family has to pay that debt off, or it's done. There's got to be forgiveness somewhere. Let alone if you're put in prison and you're tortured or beaten. Recognizing where we're at in Christ and how great His kingdom is and how it works, folks, with forgiveness and grace and mercy, should enable us and be a guide in our hearts to recognize that we need to do the same. As Jesus has forgiven us, we have to forgive others. We have to. Folks, we have to. There's some truths that Jesus teaches us that are hard to swallow sometimes. But we have to believe in them and follow them in our lives. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it is written, "But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." It's one of the hardest passages in the Bible. Jesus says, folks, there's a time when you don't cast your pearls in front of swine. And that's a tough decision to make as a Christian. Hanging around with you, being a part of you, doing things with you is not good for me spiritually. Or I shouldn't hang around with you because you've rejected Jesus. You've turned from Him. You're not following Him. And folks, you go back to Matthew 18 where it says if you have aught with your brother, you go talk to him about it. We know brothers and sisters in Christ that have fell out of the way, that are struggling with their faith. They're not here. Have we went to them and asked them to come back? Have we admonished them as a brother or a sister in Christ? Because some of us have done what this is. We just withdraw from them. That's only half the step. The other step is admonishing them like a brother. I love you. I love you. We miss you. We miss you. God wants you here. Please come back. Our last passage this morning, and then we'll do a quick review or lesson. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother. Folks, do not speak evil of one another. Tony, thank you for mowing the lawn, brother. Looks good. Okay? I parked in front of your trailer so nobody would steal it while we're in worship service this morning. Folks, we have opportunities to positively compliment and speak about people, okay? Or to be negative. We talked about positive and negative in Bible class this morning, but I'm just talking about, for example, I'll give you, my wife has a pair of shoes that I don't like. And I like to throw them in the trash, and I like to cut them up. And folks, what do you think? Like I said this morning when I started my lesson, I love you. I love you all. 10-15 years ago, I might have said something. But I'm just humbled when I see something like that. I'll tell you something, folks. We got maybe 10 kids here today. How many of thousands and tens of thousands of kids are in Frankfort, Clinton County, Boone County that aren't here? I'll use that example as positive and negative. I'm glad you're here. If they interrupt me every Sunday morning, I don't care. I'm glad you're here. Jesus is glad you're here. The only way they're going to make it to heaven is if they're here. I could go down to the list of people I wish were here. They're not. Back to my wife's shoes. I hate, okay? Negative wise. I told her I don't like them. I told her I'm going to hide them from them. If they come up missing, I'm a dead duck. She knows. She knows she didn't misplace it. And I've mentioned it a couple times. Matter of fact, I mentioned it yesterday. And I don't, you know, I just one of them things for me. You know? I just don't like those shoes. Now, I could go farther beyond and be negative about why I don't like those shoes and what those shoes look like and on and on and on and on. But I've learned and refrained and maybe matured or maybe just, I don't know. Jesus working on my heart. I just said I don't like them. But that's an example, folks, to where I could go that other mile and hide them. Or maybe play with my new puppy a little bit and get her to chew on himself. So Kelly, I just thought of that, but I won't do that. If she gets him, it's not me. I'm just saying. But folks, it's just little things like that, that if we start being negative about things, negative about how something tastes or how something looks or what we see on TV, it's easy to get in that negativism.
And then we start thinking negative about ourselves and our lives, and we miss the whole point of life that God's given us, the kingdom of heaven. We forget that we're going to live forever. We forget what a joy it is to be forgiven. Do not speak evil of one another. And in closing this morning, let's just look at a few of the topics of our lessons and our verses this morning. With the measure you use, it'll be measured back to you. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine. Be reconciled to your brother. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Up to 70 times 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. 5 words has got a lot of power in it right there that Jesus said. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother's trespasses. Admonish him as a brother. Do not speak evil of one another. Folks, are you with me, brother? These are great truths of God's holy word to direct our paths this week and coming week. If you're challenged with any of these things, I hope God's holy word will remind you that you represent his kingdom and he's guiding you to do the right thing this morning. If you have need to respond, folks, to the invitation to become a child of God by being baptized into Christ, having your sins washed away as Jesus said, or you have anything on your heart that you want prayers of the congregation for, we offer this time this morning as an invitation to come as we stand and sing the selected hymn.